I guess you're satisfying the percent cut that was required. So I was trying to find out why the decision was made to cut it out of that particular line item. You know, and as the in the narrative continues, that, you know, the reduction in that adversely affects those programs and their ability to provide services for victims. And certainly they've had federal budget cuts and their ability to satisfy the needs of victims has been dramatically reduced. And I just like a little more discussion about where this can't, you know, the decision on this particular line.
Madam Chairman, Senator Hastert, the best explanation of it is we're directed 8%, and there are five divisions within the Attorney General's office. So to the extent that one, we're not giving 8%, or we're giving was giving considerably less than 8%, then that's got to be made up in other places. And as I said, with the law office, we've already lost two attorney positions, which, believe me, we feel that pain. And so to hold one whole division harmless and to continue their budget in whole and reduce the other divisions substantially more than they're already reduced, I couldn't justify that. So we came up with 8%. The governor thought that that was too much. He reduced it to 4%. And the net effect of that is that as we go through the victim services budget, and you see that he does that more than once, and hold some of the ones harmless to 0% cut, when all of that is considered, we see that the relative priority amongst the cuts is falls less on victim services than it does on the other divisions. But there's simply no way to hold them entirely harmless without getting into people in the other divisions. So I understand completely the concern about reduced spending in that regard, but to make our charge of 8%, it's necessary.
Madam Chairman, yes, but not for today.
So I think I said that the governor, as you see on the bottom of the page, recommended 4% rather than the 8% that we had proposed to the governor. And next you see the Child Advocacy Center on page 51. There are actually three of those in the state, in Cheyenne, Casper, and Jackson. And they're a wonderful idea that make a real difference. And what the idea of it is that when we have a child victim of crime, there is a one-stop place where, rather than the child being dragged around all different places, and there's one place you can go where all of the services are provided. And I'm sold on the notion that these provide a benefit. What we recommended, as with this one, was that we would reduce $8,000, which was corresponding with the 8%. What the governor came back and recommended to the committee is that 8% cut be denied. And so Child Advocacy Center would stay the same as it were before the cuts. On page 54, Madam Chairman, we get to Unit 910, which is victim witness funding. And there we recommended that $80,000 reduction that you see, which is pass-through money to the locals. And the explanation of what would result from that is that it would likely reduce salaries, making it more difficult to retain qualified staff, or may reduce the number of staff, which affects services provided. Don't have any doubt about the truth of that statement, but again, we have a charge. The governor came back and recommended to the committee denial of that budget reduction, so he recommended the $80,000 be retained that I had proposed be reduced. The next unit is 915 on page 57, DVS Administration. And there we see a couple of reductions that were proposed, first in the 200 series by $12,700 and second in the 900 series by $14,405. And what this money is connected to is the division's training and outreach to the locals. There's a lot of law and requirements to train on, so they will hold conferences, they will bring in speakers and so forth. What the governor proposed in that regard is to recommend approval of the proposed budget reductions for this unit. So there would be less training as a result of that. And on page 58, we see again the gold and silver migrating to ETS. On page 60 of the budget, Madam Chairman, we see the unit service provider salaries, unit 920. And there, as the committee knows, there are 23 domestic violence sexual assault service providers in the state for each county, one for each county. And that the reduction, which we were proposing, $32,168, would impact salaries by which they're able to pay, again, hindering their ability to recruit and retain staff. Here the governor recommended denial of my proposed budget reduction, and therefore the $32,168 would stay in the budget by his recommendation to the committee. Page 64, Madam Chairman, developmental disabilities, unit 1105. Again, very painful to say to developmental disabilities, give us an 8% reduction, but that's what we did. That would have been $26,599. We see that the governor recommendation there is to deny the recommendation I had made to him. Therefore, that money would stay intact. And on the again, on page 66, the gold, silver. On page 68, we come to the last item that was on page 7 of the supplemental budget request, and that concerns CAPCON at the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy. The next page, you see the explanation. The idea of what was proposed here, which was $424,500 in general funds, was to provide refurbishing of space whereby real-world training could be had at the Law Enforcement Academy. For instance, they will try to simulate domestic violence calls, responding to those calls, and right now they're doing them in cramped dorm rooms. Anything involving a jail for the detention officers, they will lean on the sheriff, who is very cooperative, but at the same time has limited space, so the idea was to put up some cells within the available space by which they could do that. All of the things involved in high-risk vehicle stops, building searches, so proper use of force options and otherwise that are hindered by the limited cramped space at the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy, that's what the money was designed to do, was to help with that situation. The Building Commission passed that unanimously, but then as the priorities are all considered, which we understand, there wasn't money for that, and accordingly the governor's recommendation on that was to deny the proposed budget for this unit. So, Madam Chairman, that covers our budget, and as I say, we have the division directors here to answer any questions on the budget or any other matter.
Mr. Jones?
Madam Chair, there are a couple clarifications I need to offer to the committee, and I'm wondering if you could all go back to page 568, if you've got an iPad, or page 13 of the budget, if not.
All right.
On the bottom of page 13, the governor's recommendation with respect to the Department of Health. I missed this testimony earlier, but your staff indicated to me that the testimony had been these were two additional positions. And certainly the language in the rec offers that up. Essentially, this is a transfer of two positions from the Department of Health. I just wanted to make sure that was the clear understanding.
I would agree with you, Mr. Jones, that the addition probably should be an approval of a transfer.
Madam Chair, there's a corresponding reduction of two positions in the Department of Health. What's occurring here is that the two positions are being transferred over to the Attorney General's office. The funding is the Medicaid, the federal funding, and the general funds associated with those positions is remaining in the Department of Health. Mm-hmm. We have raised up special revenue spending authority in the Attorney General's office with respect to these two positions, and the Attorney General's office will be invoicing the Department of Health for the services that are provided. This allows the continued application of federal dollars to those two positions. So I just wanted to clarify exactly how that's going to work.
Okay. And the other item?
The other item would be on page 15. If you go to the very bottom, Madam Chair, you'll notice the addition of $4,888 into professional fees. This is additional funds resulting from the positions that are being proposed for elimination because they exceeded the budget reduction target. This money has been offset against a proposed reduction in the 0901 object code. But more importantly, if you go to the next page, it's not reflected correctly in the revenue codes and the funding associated with that $4,888. This is an item your staff caught earlier today and pointed out to me. And we have verified that the general fund on page 16 will need to reflect that additional funding. And then the federal dollars that are under revenue code 5048 will need to be reduced accordingly.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. Is that it?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Good. Any further comments, Attorney General?
Nothing further from me, Madam Chairman. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take a quick break or just plow through parks. Yeah, did you show them?
I'm going to go through every single page.
Back from the
okay, which one am I?
cardio going.
Awesome. Where was this at? Sure. C3 County there. Did you win it?
No. They have people from everywhere in Las Vegas. And
it's going to be a little work. What all to do? The truck pull?
Atlas Stones.
Oh, did you?
Farmer Carry.
What carry?
Farmer Carry. It's a 260 pounds each hand for distance.
Wow. I need a couple operations. Government hurting, I think.
Oh, I've seen you. Pretty good.
Oh,
you hold your own, okay?
Yeah. Oh, for you. So that's your new hobby. Right on. Oh, good. That's good.
You guys gonna start coming back to the gym? Or?
I don't know. You know, last year we did all of it in the basement. I mean, it's kind of dumbbells and stuff. It's about 40. You know, well, it's probably 20 minutes.
Well, we have State Parks and Cultural Resources Agency 24, and we have Director Simpson with us. Welcome. And he's going to make us all smile before the day is over.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman, members of the committee. So this is our office Christmas party. Look, they're smiling already. That's good. So we brought our program managers. We'll be talking about each of the programs, and all the managers are here, so I'll ask them to quickly stand and introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Darren Westby, Chief of Field Support, Wyoming State Parks Historic Sites and Trails.
Dominic Bravo, Administrator for State Parks.
Sarah Needles, Administrator for Cultural Resources Division.
Brian Sandlin, Accounting Manager.
Renee Beauvais, Administrator of the Wyoming Cultural Trust Fund.
I'm Helen B. Louise, and I manage the Wyoming State Museum.
Rita Basem, I'm the Manager of the Wyoming Arts Council.
Mike Strom, I'm the Manager of the Wyoming State Archives.
I'm Mary Hopkins, I'm the Wyoming State Historic Preservation Officer.
Bill Westerfield, Chief of Operations for State Parks, Historic Sites and Trails.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We had two exception requests and two CapCon requests for our supplemental budget. We have three divisions in our agency, our Administrative Services Division, which includes our IT, our Accounting Section, our Human Resources, and our Public Information Office. The Cultural Resources Division, which includes six programs. You just met all of the program managers. The State Museum, State Archives, State Archaeologists, State Historic Preservation Office, Cultural Trust, and Wyoming Arts Council. And then we have the Division of State Parks, Historic Sites, and Trails. And it's your guidance, Madam Chairman. The first division where we discuss budget reductions is the Administration and Support Division. And members of the committee, that begins on your page 9. And what we're recommending here for our 8% budget reduction is to eliminate one vacant position. This position is within the Public Relations Office, and that would constitute a $131,618 cut. And that is the entirety of our proposal for the budget reduction for administrative services. Are there any questions?
Miller, that position is currently vacant?
Yes, ma'am. That position is currently vacant. It's 100% general fund.
How has administration assumed those responsibilities during that time of vacancy? I mean, what has that done to the efficiency of your administration?
Certainly, Madam Chairman, that position was in charge of doing all of our graphic work, video productions, and so forth in-house. We do a lot of that in our agency. We're an agency that advertises its tourism products, And before that position was vacant, that person had the skills to do a lot of our productions that we use to advertise and promote our state parks and our cultural resources in-house with in-house equipment. The impact to eliminating that position would be we would have to reduce the number and extent of those services, and those services that we would do, we'd have to contract out. An example, I think a lot of members of the legislature attend the Governor's Arts Awards, and part of that is the video production for each of the award winners, and we had been doing that in-house through this person's services. To the extent we continue to do that kind of work, it'd be contracted out if this position is eliminated. If there are no further questions, we move to the Cultural Resources Division. On your page 14, we do have one exception request within this division. But first of all, that is the Cultural Resources entire division with all of the programs. The total reduction that we're proposing is $520,048. Spread across all of those programs. And the first of those several programs that we talk about is the Cultural Resources Admin Budget. This is the Division Administrator's budget. We are proposing to reduce that budget by $138,802. This is on page 16. One thing that we would do is we would eliminate a position that is an AWAC position that was created through a 2007-08 biennial budget request. This position had been a liaison to the State Historic Society, which is a statewide nonprofit. And what we would do is simply eliminate that the AWAC funding for that position so that those services to the Historical Society would no longer be provided. Other reductions would result in curtailing to a certain degree the Cultural Trust Fund Administrator and the Cultural Trust Board travel to review projects or to have an opportunity to look at proposed projects. We would also reduce the support budget for the administrator of the Division of Cultural Resources. Other reductions would be across 200 series, a lot of travel reductions. And that's kind of the thumbnail of what we propose to do with that Cultural Resources Admin budget. If there are no questions on those reductions, we'll move to the State Museum Program. On page 18, we're proposing a very modest reduction in the State Museum's budget. The State Museum is a very bare-bones operation as it is. What we're proposing to do here is slightly decrease the budgeted amount that we have for supplies and travel. This will have a modest impact on the State Museum. We may not be able to afford to send museum professionals out to take a look at artifacts that, let's say, are being proposed to be donated to the museum. A little bit of a reduced capacity to support the exhibit programs that we do in the museum. And the total reduction we're proposing is $4,000. And if there are no questions on the State Museum proposed reductions, the State Archaeologist is the next program in the Cultural Resources Division on your page 21. What we're proposing to do here is reduce the number of permanently assigned vehicles for the Office of the State Archaeologist. And those vehicles are used for the archaeology staff to do field work, to travel. We'll reduce three vehicles down to two, so we'll have to be more efficient with how we go about travel. We'll have to combine trips. We'll have to try to be as efficient as possible. And that's a $5,316 reduction to the Office of the State Archaeologist. There are no questions on the Office of the State Archaeologist proposed reductions. The next program is on page 23. And that is the State Historic Preservation Office. We're proposing a reduction of $128,872. in a number of different areas. One of the things we propose to do is eliminate the general fund portion of one of our full-time positions and replace it with the federal funds that the SHPO receives through the Historic Preservation Fund. What that would mean is we would basically continue to have that position, but we would move it to 100% federal funding, and we would eliminate the general fund portion of it. And that amount is $30,372. You'll notice in the governor's recommendation that there was a change in how this was presented, and I'm sure Mr. Ogle could answer any questions about that, but it was incorrect to show a reduction in the 100 series because that position continues to exist. What we're changing is the funding source. So the amount that in the governor's rec that has been put back in the budget on page 25 in column 6 indicates that that money will now come out of the federal fund, but it does not reduce the 100 series budget. And if there's any questions about that or why that recommendation was made, we can sure answer those.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't have a question about that, but I do have a question about the note there. It says that the Historic Preservation Grant has brought in $1.3 million. In federal funds, and I'm curious what that historical grant program pays for, what it's used for, and
absolutely appreciate it. I think the best person to answer that question is our State Historic Preservation Officer. So, Mary Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Historic Preservation Fund is a requirement. It's a pass-through grant from the National Park Service to the State Historic Preservation Office. It's a funding allocation. It goes to all 50 states and U.S. territories. Wyoming receives an allocated funding of that every year. We are required to administer the National Register of Historic Places in the state of Wyoming. We list properties on the National Register. We manage the federal tax credit program for historic preservation. The Dineen Building here in Cheyenne is an example of that. They're utilizing the tax credit program. We also manage a certified local government program, which is local historic preservation boards throughout Wyoming. There are 20 of those commissions. They're at the city or county level government. We are required to pass through 10% of that historic preservation fund to local projects, and those local projects can be something as of like a new roof on the depot in Laramie or a inventory of historic resources in a county. And we also do Section 106 review, which is we comment on all federal actions that take place in the state of Wyoming. So we do a lot of oil and gas review, transmission lines, wind projects, anything that the federal government is permitting. And I think that is basically the core of our program that's required by the federal government to retain our federal funds.
So the out of the $1.3 million, it sounds like most of that is sort of taken up with administrative government functions of one kind or another. And did you say that 10% actually goes to projects like putting a roof on something or stabilizing a building or something of that nature?
Mary? Yes, Ms. Chairman. We pass through 10% and usually maybe a little more of that money to local governments. They're required to match those projects with either in-kind or local funding to do walking tour brochures and inventories. The most of our funding that comes from the federal government helps to support staffing to review those federal actions, federal undertakings. I forgot one other pretty key program. We also maintain the records on all the known historic archaeological sites and properties throughout the state of Wyoming. So we manage a sophisticated data system that we provide out to the federal agencies also. Yes, there's administration, but a lot of it also is a lot of work with local communities to make sure the projects are planned,
for and done in a timely manner so we meet the requirements of both the NEPA, National Environmental Policy Act compliance, as well as the National Historic Preservation Act compliance.
Mayor, I just wanted to follow up on the your confidence level as far as the federal funding coming down the pike, what that's looking like.
Mrs. Chairman, the federal funding has been very nonpartisan, and in the last 4 years, our funding through many of the like ARRA funding that came through, we actually saw an increase in the Historic Preservation Fund. That allocated fund is not through regular congressional dollars. It comes through the Offshore Oil and Gas Fund. It's much like the Land and Conservation Fund at State Parks. It comes through that same funding mechanism. Historic Preservation has done a lot of work to show that they job create. So, say, for example, the Dineen Building, how many jobs has that created to use the tax program? There's a lot of work at the throughout the country to show that we expedite projects. We help to make sure those projects are done in a timely way. So right now there's not a discussion of reduction of Historic Preservation Fund, but, you know, I don't have a crystal ball on what Congress will do. So thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And the budget reduction will have an impact on the ability of the ship boat to meet its responsibilities to a certain degree. We're talking about reduction in travel to actually review projects and proposals and undertakings as they're being proposed. We're talking about reducing the 900 series, which is used for folks who do a lot of the data entry in the Cultural Records Office, and this is a collection of data that's used by the oil and gas industry or other project proponents to do a search to be able to know what kinds of cultural resources may be impacted. We have about 80% of the data entered. We're about 20% behind. So this budget reduction would have some impact on that as well. And we like to say, and it still remains the case, that we're one of the busiest state historic preservation offices in the state. Despite decreased production, there's still a lot of exploration going on that requires us to do that Section 106 work that Mary referred to. So those are the impacts. We're spending less of the historic preservation grant or a little bit more of it on administration when you use it to cover the amount of that full funded position that we're going to eliminate the general fund part of. And that's something that's generally frowned upon. It adds to the administrative load on that federal grant. We don't think there will be a big consequence to that, but just to be aware of. If there are no further questions on the State Historic Preservation Office, we'll move to the Wyoming Arts Council on page 27. We have one of our two exception requests within this program. On page 27, first of all, the proposed budget reduction. We're proposing to reduce the general fund of the Arts Council by $158,500. And some of that, $39,000 of that, is 600 series, which is the general fund money that is re-granted out around the state. So this will require us to reduce travel. It will require us to reduce membership in some national organizations that we work with to increase our capacity, make it a little bit difficult for us to get around the state and provide the services that we provide. And the fewer dollars available in grants will have an impact on Arts Council constituents. In terms of the exception request, which is on page 28, I talked with the Wyoming Arts Council board and the Arts Council staff go to all their meetings, and they felt very strongly because the Arts Council has done and does a lot of ongoing, pretty robust strategic planning. They hold a lot of town hall meetings, do a lot of focus group kind of activities, a lot of surveys to determine what kinds of services the arts constituency needs and wants in this state. And a big one that seems to come up continually, and this last planning process was no exception, is they want the Arts Council's primary role, or one of its primary roles, to be to serve as a convener. In a spread out rural state like this, it's difficult for the arts constituency to network, to learn from each other, to form alliances and so forth, and to be have an opportunity to have some professional training opportunities. And so this exception request would basically allow us to hold another biennial arts conference. The last arts conference, statewide conference we held, was back in 2009. This exception request would fund two conferences. One would take place to coincide with a National Assembly of State Arts Agencies Leadership Institute that's being hosted in Wyoming. And it kind of is a good synergy there, because we're going to have we won't have to pay to send a lot of really high-powered arts service providers and experts who are going to be coming out for that Leadership Institute, so there's some efficiencies to be realized. So part of that request would fund a biennial arts conference for the fall, and part of that funding would fund a smaller arts conference for our visual arts constituents. The visual artists in the state are a very vocal constituency, and again, what they indicate they want from the Arts Council is the ability to convene and increase their capacities as artists and arts organizations. The governor denied this request, and I'll stand for any questions either on the budget reduction or the exception request.
Madam Chairman, just a note, you, as Mr. Simpson indicated, the governor did deny this request in the amount of $65,000 based on information that he received from the agency. He did, however, I will point you to one of the items on his profile, which is not included in the budget. It's in the lower portion of that upper left-hand portion of the profile. It's labeled Wyoming Arts Council, $20,000. And so towards the near the end of his budget development process, he is recommending $20,000 towards one of these conferences. And there will be a follow-up governor's letter giving you a little bit more detail on what he would propose in that regard.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chairman. And the next program within the Cultural Resources Division, last but not least, is the Archives Program on page 31. We're proposing a $56,026 reduction to the general fund for the State Archives. Most of that money will come out of office supplies and budget funds out of the 200 series that we use to repair and maintain archives equipment. The impact will basically be on our ability to keep a lot of our equipment well-served and maintained. We use a lot of that equipment, scanners, printers, filmers, paper, film, etc., to maintain our ability to continue to archive records, both analog and digital records. So there will be some reduced capacities there. Also, we'll probably have to cancel some memberships in some professional organizations for the archives.
Milner, what's the backlog on our microfiche, you know, all of our digital scanning, do you know?
Well, Madam Chairman, as the committee may know, we're in the process of kind of moving into the digital records realm. And thanks to the generosity of the state legislature, and the governor's office, we have some funding that we're going to use to actually create a capacity to do digital records. In the meantime, we continue to store records in a analog format. In terms of any backlog, I'd ask Mike Strom, our state archivist, to respond.
Hello. Madam Chairman, I would have to get back to you for any sort of numbers on our backlog for microfilming right now.
And how is the status of our microfiche equipment at this point? I mean, the last couple of times you've been in, it's been in dire repair, and I knew that Senator Nicholas would want to hear an update on that.
Madam Chairman, the equipment remains in questionable repair, mm-hmm. some better than others. We are we're working to keep it in working order, and it is right now. And we know that we need to be very cautious and about what we replace and don't replace, because we are gradually moving toward a more digital format. So we're being careful and prudent in what we replace.
Do you have a state working group working through that process of the digital archiving?
We do, Madam Chairman. We have a digital repository committee, a steering committee set up with several members from ETS, several members from the archives. Secretary of State also has a member on that committee. And so I'm very pleased we're moving forward with that project.
Great. All right. Good. Any other questions of Mr. Strong? Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That concludes the Cultural Resources Division. And that brings us to the Division of State Parks, Historic Sites, and Trails on page 34. We are proposing a $638,461 reduction to the general fund for the Division of State Parks, Historic Sites, and Trails. That reduction will have a number of impacts and come out of a number of places, which I can summarize for you on page 35. One of the things we're going to do is reduce Hot Springs State Park by one position. This is a full-time general funded position that's in charge of irrigation and the bison herd, and we'll try to redistribute those responsibilities among other staff at Hot Springs State Park. So there's one vacant position that we will reduce as part of the budget cut. Other reductions will be for seasonal pay. A few years ago, we were successful in applying for what some of you may recall was called hotspot funds, and these were funds to be used for seasonal employees. We kind of had to make a case that there was a need in the agency for them. What we're proposing to do here basically is to eliminate all of the hotspot funds that we use to hire additional seasonals. So we're going to be reducing our seasonal employees. We're going to be reducing one full-time position. We're also going to be reducing a lot in the 200 series for supplies, utilities. We're going to reduce 8 of our motor vehicles and kind of spread those throughout the system. We're also going to reduce contract services. We have contract services that we use to fulfill the site criteria process. The site criteria and statute is the process that we use to basically determine the advisability of adding any new parks or historic sites. If a project proponent or an entity comes forward and wants to propose that a new park be established, we apply this site criteria process, and that's a process that does require some outlay of funds to go through it. Sometimes some contract services need to be involved. And in the budget reduction, we basically would propose eliminating the budget for site criteria and basically would have no funding for any of those projects that would be proposed going forward. One of the other consequences would be basically in terms of services that our seasonals provide on the ground. We're talking about the trash being empty less often, the grass being mowed less often, those kinds of impacts. You'll notice on page 36 that the governor has proposed to put $100,000 back in, or he's denied $100,000 of the proposed reduction. One of the consequences of the originally proposed reduction would be to move to a pack-in, pack-out situation for trash. Trash collection is one of our more expensive cost centers. It's a cost center that increases, and we would propose to take that restored funding the governor is recommending and apply it against that reduction in trash services, so we would not have to go to a pack-in, pack-out situation in our parks.
Yeah, I notice in this area here we've got one park up in my area, and the question I have has to do with the public access to the Hot Springs State Recreation Area, where you considered having management taken over by the Horse Creek Irrigation District, who at one time sued the state to deny access to that park. Any concerns that if they take over management that you're still going to be able to provide public access?
Madam Chairman, Senator Meyer, that is an unknown at this time. We did propose in the budget reduction reducing, and you'll notice Hawk Springs is one of them, but there are three other parks and sites to kind of a limited management where we reduce the operating funding, but we would find a way to hopefully work out a management agreement with another entity so that the park services can continue to be provided. We would not close these parks. I want to emphasize that. We would not close these parks or sites. This is not what we're proposing. But a limited management would be basically we would leave them accessible to the public but would no longer apply any operating funds. The reason that we kind of looked at these four, including the one that Senator Meyer is talking about, is because they potentially lend themselves to cooperative efforts with other entities to manage them. In the case of Hawk Springs, the irrigation district is a possibility, but yes, there may be a concern about access, and we have not, as of yet, spoken to that organization. Dominic, do you have anything to add?
Madam Chair, I want to make it clear that I think that, you know, hopefully that you can keep that kind of a self, you know, low-maintenance type park as the way you're suggesting. I'm not suggesting otherwise. I just think that you need to be cognizant when you negotiate with those folks that you have something in there to the positive effect that you know that public access isn't going to be denied in the management scheme. And it's, you know, I don't know whether you guys forgot about that or not, or whether that was before your time. But you know, I just you know, say to dot your I's and cross your T's on that one. Yeah, I don't know how he has a mediator. Yeah, I have my own discussion. We won't go any farther on this. Okay.
Did I cover all the impacts, or did I miss anything? Are there any questions about the impacts of the proposed reductions to the Parks Division? All right, thank you, Madam Chairman. Our other exception request for the supplemental budget was in the Parks Division. That's on the following page, page 37. And those of you who have been on this committee for a while know that every year we bring a list, a prioritized list of equipment needs through the exception process. And this year was no exception to that. We had a request for $254,100. Those are prioritized pieces of equipment. The governor elected to deny $209,100 of the request and approve $45,000, which I understand we can use to apply towards these priority needs. And if there are no questions on that request, the only thing left in the budget request were both capital construction requests. Would you like us to discuss those as well? Okay, just to bring you up to date, we had two CapCon requests in the supplemental budget on page 42. The number one priority there was the Lakeshore Drive at Guernsey State Park. That is the historic drive at the park. A lot of that was constructed back in the Civilian Conservation Corps days. We're having a lot of deterioration and maintenance issues that particular road, so this request would allow us to address those, and that was denied by the SBC. What we intend to do is go back and try to look and give a specific idea of how the Bureau of Reclamation's proposed dam renovations will impact this particular request. And so we're going to go back and see if the dam renovations would have any impact on the work that we need to do there at Lakeshore Drive, and probably come back with a request, perhaps a revised one next time around, and get those questions definitively answered. Then, members of the committee, the second CapCon request was on page 46.
Didn't we have a bridge burn up in the fire up there in Guernsey? And I'm wondering if that's
yes.
Is that denying access to any of the folks who have homes or cabins or anything up there?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And Senator Meyer, you're referring to the fire that unfortunately took place this last summer at Guernsey State Park. There was fairly extensive damage to the park. Fortunately, we lost very few structures. We did, though, lose two reconstructed CCC-era bridges, and we would have to look at the possibility of reconstructing those someday. I don't think where those bridges were has any relationship to access to cabin leaseholders or members of the public.
Madam Chair and Senator Meyer, they're both footbridges, so they were on, along the historic trail areas.
Oh, all right. Okay. I had heard of bridges burning up, but I'm not sure what. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
And then the other CAPCON request, members of the committee, was on page 46. That is South Pass City. What we're requesting there is funding so we can bring fire suppression and electricity to the Carissa mine. That request was denied by the SBC. And that concludes our budget.
Committee, are there other questions of Director Simpson or his staff? Senator Dockstetter.
Madam Chair, if I could go back a section or two. When you referenced the impacts on, in reference to historic sites and maybe slowing down the permitting process, as far as our oil and gas, do you kind of give us a time frame? Do you really see it slowing that down? Do we see major delays? Could you address that again, please, before we wrap it up here?
Certainly, Madam Chairman, Senator Dockstetter, Mary Hopkins, I believe, is still here with the State Historic Preservation Office.
Yes, Madam Chairman and Senator Dockstetter, currently we review most actions well within the time frames that are allowed. We have expedited time frames with many of the agencies, with the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Forest Service, the Natural Conservation Resource Service. We exceed those days that were allowed. So we will do our very best to still meet the time frames. So, for example, a standard oil and gas well is usually reviewed in our office within 7 days of receipt. We generally, under the regulations, have 30 days. Depending upon what the volume is that we are seeing, we may see a few days increase, but I don't see it being anywhere near pushed to that 30-day on an average. So that would be the change in time frame. The change in travel for us to meet with project proponents and federal agencies on the ground will be affected. So as we do review cases, many times it is very helpful to be out in the field with those project proponents and the agencies. And I do see that travel, our travel costs will be reduced. We'll be doing a lot more phone calls and video conferencing, those kind of things.
You're welcome. Any other questions of State Parks and Cultural Resources? Okay, well, I hope you have enjoyed your Christmas party. Sorry we didn't have cookies. And thank you for being here late today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, Merry Christmas. All right, committee, tomorrow we're going to start with the Department of Health at 8 o'clock. At 2 o'clock is going to be training for all new members or any old members that would like training. We will be covering, Don might want to go over possibly, we never really got to finish our orientation the other day, so that would be part of what we could do and work on those items. And some of the folks will be, of course, at Management Council. That's what I want you to remember. Also, with the University of Wyoming, all of the 600 and 900 series were submitted, but they are on your iPads or your laptops in the SharePoint document. It's more than 100 pages worth of vendor material there. So we did not have that printed and any more trees cut down. So I hope that's okay with you. And also to remind you that on the 13th and 14th, so Thursday and Friday, you do have the opportunity to have your photo taken for the session. Mr. Burns will be here starting, I think, at 8 o'clock on Thursday and Friday. Yes, it's for the composite. So if you want to get that out of the way, get your hair done, Senator Nicholas, you can do that. Trim up your ears. That'll work. Committee, are there any other questions as we wrap up for this evening? When is our Christmas party? Bob?